Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you. Yeah. It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beast, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Welcome, 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 welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, January the 29th, 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. Excuse me. I respect you, I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we want to drop another nugget in your lap today as I reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify whatever is bothering you, whatever is concerning you, whatever life situations that have been presented to you has power over you. So whatever's bothering you is bothering you for a reason. And so today we want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify that reason. And we want to remove that reason because that reason is your season. So the Father presents problems to you, or you present problems to you. Every major decision that you've made in your life, you've probably looked outside of yourself for the solutions to that problem. And so the most important step in the process of having total source control, if you want to use that term, is for you to make a choice or a decision to have. See, you gain a great deal of spiritual power or personal power each time you consciously make a choice or a decision to have. You empower yourself each time you say, I have, or you say, I am. Every time you say, I need, or you say, I want, you disempower yourself. Every time you say, I have, every time you say, I am, you empower. So it's about empowering or disemboweling the self. And so there are things that bother you. Now, we have to get into the psychology of this situation, because if you say nothing bothers you, then are you really living in reality? Like there are atrocities that are taking place in this dimension. There are things that are, you know, there's like pedophilia, animal cruelty, drug trafficking, you know, modern day slavery. Sex slaves and all of the, there's a lot of things that happen in this dimension that bother or should concern you. So to say that you're not concerned maybe not be the accurate statement. So we've got to break this down, because each and every one of us have concerns. Now, as I've talked about in many other shows, we've already dealt with the word care. So nobody cares about you. Well, I don't care about you, and I hope you don't care about me, because that implies I'm not source. That implies that I'm fractured. That implies if you care about me, you are telling me you have anxiety because I'm not capable of beaming or being or bonding. And I want to tell you today that I am capable of standing on my own 2 feet. So I don't need you to care, but I need you to love. So the devil, if you want to use that term, B'nai HaNakash, hides in the details. Now, many of us don't really, really understand the series that I did way back in the day that comes from John chapter 8, verse 44, John 8:44, which states, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue or his native language. Say it again. Lies is the native language. Lies is the native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So either you serve the father of lies or the father of lies. Lies bother you. Because B'nai HaNakash is the frequency of what is called the unbeknown son of light. So when we look at the ancient texts, throughout all of the ages, the mission of the B'nai HaNakash and the missions of the Hashem or the Yahushua, the HaMashiach, the HaMashiach and the B'nai HaNakash are two sides that have been at odds. So it is the understanding of the ancient text that talks about Yahushua, the HaMashiach, which is light. The light that has been trapped inside of ignorance or confusion that dumbs down truth of the spiritual origin of the true Ha-Shem. So the word Ha-Shem and the word Ha-Mashiach, it means enabled light being. It is a light that is enabled. So if the light is disenabled, then it's not the HaMashiach. It is not the Hashem, based upon the ancient text. So what does that mean? That means that bothers you if you're not part of the HaMashiach, and you're part of the Bnei HaNakash. So it is the HaNakash versus the HaShem. The HaShem versus the HaBnei Nakash. What does that mean in English? In English, that simply means you have something that is bothering you today. Maybe it's more bills than money. The reason that it is bothering you is because you're not being light. You are beaming darkness. So you have a being, you have a imaging. You're not in the image of the Son. So Jesus is made in the image of the Father. So are you. You're made, again, the scripture says you're made in the image and in the likeness. So it's the image. You got the wrong image. You got the image of the liar instead of the image of the light. So lawyers or liars, liars or lawyers, that's why it says in Matthew 8, 7 times, woe unto you lawyers, because you lawyers are liars. Now, let's go further down the rabbit trail because something's bothering you, but the thing that's bothering you is a lie. Because light beings cannot have disease. Light beings cannot have poverty. Because light beings are source. Light is the source of all. You are sons and daughter of the Father of light, or you are a son and a daughter of the Father of lies. Which, who your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who your pappy? Yeah, I remember that movie, old boy says, I'm that baby's pappy. So who is your pappy? Is it the Father of lies or is the Father of light? Right now, you have a lie. Not you, but you know, people you know. What is the lie? Whatever you're concerned about. You have a concern, right? So you're concerned about your man. You're concerned about your woman. You're concerned about your job. You're concerned about all your shearings. Oh, my little mojito. You're concerned about your shearings. So it is this concern that is the concern. Because light exposes, destroys darkness. There isn't even a fight. When light shows up, what happens to the darkness? See, we do not know, therefore we die like men. If you do not know, you can't believe it. If you got an intellectual knowledge of what I'm getting ready to say, then you're gonna be lie. You're gonna be the son of the father of lies that we just read in John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father, the devil's desires. He was a murderer. Number one, you're going to be a murderer from the beginning. Not a physical murderer, but a spiritual murderer. Not holding the truth. That means you can't hold it. I'm going to give you the truth today, but you can't hold it. For there is no truth in him. You don't have the capacity. Jeremiah 29. You have a broken cistern. Your cistern can't hold water. That means I'm going to put truth inside of the body, but the body can't hold it because you got holes in it. It's not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. He lies. He speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and a father of lies. So I am with the father of lights, but there are some people, they're with the father of lies. So the father of lies says that you are not Psalms 82, verse 6 and 7. Because Psalms 82, 6 tells me that ye are gods and you are sons of the most high light. But like mortals, you will die. You're not mortals, but like mortals. You're like mortals. What does that mean? You believe the lie. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall. Why? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So who are we wrestling against? What's bothering you? Whatever bothers you has power over you. Because the definitions, because remember, Lucifer, far, he is a linguistical, cunning God that has the ability to manipulate words or geomagnetic lines or ley lines or dream lines or dragon lines that empowers your electromagnetic being. Your heart is a battery. Your muscles are batteries. They're storage devices. The heart produces electricity that it stores in the muscle fibers. Again, I don't know. There's a plethora of books out there that can prove the biological significance of the statement. But let's get to the spiritual overstanding because something's bothering you. The fact that it bothers you That's what I want to address. I'm concerned because you are concerned, because I'm not concerned. See, the word bother, B-O-T-H-O-T-H, is like the word brother. Now, remember, you are either of the father of lies or the father of light. James 3 or John 8, which one you got? It's either John 3, because, again, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Either you of the father, you are of your father, the devil, or you of your father because you are made in the image and the likeness. Everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you're made in the image. That's the problem. The problem is you have an image problem because everybody, the Reverend, the bishops, are telling you that you're made in sin. Now, you may do sin, but you ain't made. Now, what does that mean, though? We are born into sin. Jesus said, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. Are you of this world or are you of the Father? See, that the devil splits hairs. He knows that you don't have time to really investigate the depth of the statements. Because if you really understand that you are the light of the world, and he knows that is very important. Because if you don't understand that you are made of stardust, you're made in the image of God. Now, in the day that God created man, in his likeness, he made male and female, he created them. He blessed them. He called them Adam. So Adam is a species, if you want to use that term. It is a group. So God made according to the image of God. And he made him male and female according to Genesis 1:26, Genesis 1:27. This is inside of your Bible. Now, the problem is that most people don't really understand, again, the terms and the definitions of Genesis chapter 1. Now, I talked about the five kingdoms that you have dominion. I cannot find nowhere in the Hebrew Bible where one man has dominion over another man. So your image, you give away your authority, so now you are not the source of your own life. You're taking your instructions from another man and not from God. Now, the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible tells me to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, I'm not talking about order. I'm not talking about leadership. That's a whole other study for another time. What I'm talking about is an image. But what is that? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. First of all, in Genesis 1, 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, the cattle and the creeping things and the beasts of the field after his kind. And it was so. Verse 25. And God said, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And then God said that it was good. Then verse 26, Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So everything else was made after their kind. You was made after the God kind. So you are of the God kind. You're of the God class. You're not of the animal kind. I cannot find a scripture where it says God made the living creatures and man after the living creatures kind. I can't find that. If you can find it, please email that to me so I can adjust my thought and my thinking. I can't find it. I cannot find where man is made after the kind of creatures. So I am not a species. I'm not a monkey. I'm not made after mankind. I'm made after the God kind. I'm of the God class. Since you do not believe that, understand that, then like it says in Psalms 82:6, you must die like that kind. It is done unto you as you believe. If you believe that you are the mankind, you must die like mankind. Psalms 82:6-7, John 10:34. If you are of mankind, you must die like mankind. I'm of the God kind. Therefore, I reign like the God kind. That's why I'm a king, and I got a kingdom, and I got keys that I got from my father. Because in my father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, he would not have told me so. But if you are of a different kind, okay, then this message is not for you, because you may be of the beast kind. You may be of the fowl kind. You may be of the fish kind. I'm not. I'm of the God kind. I'm of the God class. Now, we got to go deeper down the rabbit trail, my brothers and sisters, because this word kind, what does that mean in the ancient text? Well, when we look it up in the Hebrew,
mean. Second imprint. Moon.
Mean and moon. M-I-Y-N in Hebrew. It means species. That's why they use that word species. But you're not a species. Because that word species, again, it means sort. It does not mean stock. So you are the stock. Well, I'm of the stock. So the word kind has to do with animal species. And so they put those words together so that way you can vibrate on that frequency. It can lower your vibration. So when we break these words down, but this is why didactic teaching is so important. See, what's bothering you has power over you. Because if you know you, if you know that you are the God kind, then I'm going to ask you, what bothers gods? Well, gods don't have things that bother them. They just have solutions, and they are creators. So now we have to understand image, because there is an image. Because God brought forth living creatures after their own mean or moon, kind. That means species. That means sort. So we're not of that sort. So what are we? Well, Genesis 1:26 says, and God says, let us make man, Adam, in our image and our likeness. So when we look at this word image,
57:54, Selim,
where we get the word Jerusalem. So Selim is half of the word Jerusalem. So we are of the Jerusalem, but we are of the Selim. So the word image means Selim. Selim, T-S-E-L-E-M, Selim in the Hebrew. So the word Selim has to do with the word resemblance. It has to do with an image. So an image has to do with a shade or phantom or shadow or a representative figure. It has to do with an illusion, Selim. So a Selim is like a shadow. So your image is a shadow image based upon letters that are being interchanged. Father, touch the minds of your people. That's what you are. You are letters that are being interchanged. You are letters that are being interchanged. That's what this means. So if you do not understand that, things are going to bother you, because you don't know that you can change the letters. You don't know that you have the power to call those things that are not as though they were. So what bothers you has power over you, because nothing should bother you. So if it bothers you, that means you got an image problem. So what does that mean, though? That means, that, again, the word image simply means resemblance. It's a shadow. So if light hits something, it produces a shadow or a shade. That's what you are. You're made in the image or the shadow and the likeness. And then it says, let them have dominion. So we are Selim and
18:23.
Demuth. So you're made in the Selim and the Demuth. So the word, Hebrew word, that Demuth, it means similitude. So there are two things you have to understand. Excuse me. Similitude and resemblance. That's you. You have those two things. If you don't have those two things, things bother you. So everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, you have to have the resemblance. So let's break down these two words so that way you can understand your true power and then stuff won't bother you. So when we look at the word resemblance, now it's an interesting word, but again, we have to go down to the root. So the word resemblance, it means a degree or kind. It means point of likeness. It means resembling. It means similar or similitude. So these two words we want to break down so that way you can have dunamis power. Now, again, this is the etymology of getting out of Groundhog's Day. You keep repeating the same thing because you keep believing the same stuff. Because the mental state that is has the same likeness of the Father. So this word, resemblance, comes from the word resemble. It's like the word reassemble. So the word resemblance comes from the word resemble, R-E-S-E-M-B-L-E. It means to be like. So number one, you should be like God. Now the five attributes that I have inside of my book that breaks down what God is, that's what you should be like. So the word resemblance means re, which means to return, and then the word similar, because the word semblance comes from the word similar. So you should return to something similar. The word similar, again, it means having the same corresponding angles. Let me say that again. It means, again, this is extremely important. This is the reason that things bother you, because you don't have the same, you don't have a same or similar qualities, characteristics, and appearance. You don't have the equal and corresponding size or ratios of God. Similar. So the word resemblance at its core means the word similar. The word similar comes from the Latin word similis, which means same. It means one as one. It means together with one. So when we break down the word resemblance, at its core, at its base, remember, I'm an etymologist, it means same. So let me ask you the question again. Are you the same? Are you the same as the angelic host of the Hashem? In the ancient text, it says, "Verily, verily, the sons of light do burst into life once more, even so in the purest form of their spiritual origin, the same that is in individual manifestations throughout." That is a scripture that I read from the ancient text called the angelic host of the Hashem. You are the angelic host of the Hashem. You are a dumbed down version of the original. You are the resemblance. That means that you are the same as the light. You are the son of light. The HaNakash or the HaMashiach has the same light. You are sons of light trapped within ignorance and confusion of carbon or dirt soup. That's the same. That's the resemblance. Now, I can go further breaking down this word resemblance that at the base simply means same. It means the exact same. So you're made in the image. Remember the word image? It means the exact same. Comes from the word, again, salam, where we get the word Jerusalem. Now we need to look at the next Greek word, which is the word demuth. So the Greek word demuth gives us an English word similitude. So now we need to look at this word similitude so that we can open and understand how you can remove everything that bothers you. Because the only reason something can bother you is if you don't know you. So since you don't know you, the true authentic you, you're not holding to the truth. You're holding to a watered-down version of it. That means that you're buying into the language that the father of lies speak. He speaks his native tongue, which is a lie. It's not the original text. So So the word similitude, remember we broke down the word resemblance, which means you are the exact same as God. So now let's look at the next word, similitude. So the word similitude in its origin comes down to a word that means relationship by comparison. It means likeness by comparison. It means resemblance, the other word that we just broke down. It means like, same as the other word. And it means similar, same as the other word. And the word similar, it means having a likeness, same as the other word. It means having a shape, same as the other word. It means having corresponding angles, same as the other word. It means at its base, at its core, it comes down to a word, same or similar as the other word. That means similar or same, S-A-M-E. So the word origin of the word similar and the word similitude and the word demuth is the same as the word Tesalem, where we get the word Jerusalem. So Salem and Demuth. So the word image and likeness at their core, at the body, they mean the exact same thing. It means similar. It means together. It means the same as. So it means that word in Genesis, that scripture should read, you're made in the same and the same, and you have dominion. So the word image, it means same, same. God has said it twice. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, which means same, and our likeness, which means same. Let us make man in our same, after our same, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the earth. You have dominion, brother. You have dominion, sister, but something bothers you. What's bothering you? The thing that's bothering you, the thing that you don't have dominion over. Let me say that again. What's bothering you, brother? What's bothering you, sister? The thing that's bothering you, you don't have dominion over. The Father gave you dominion. We just read what that word in the Greek, demos, and the word tesalem, where we get the word Jerusalem, salem, those two words, it means, so the image and likeness, it means the exact same. And we read in Psalms 82, well, we're gods, but we're gonna die the same because we refuse to be the same as God. We're made of the God kind. We're of the God class. But we think we're the same as the mankind and the man class. Since we downgraded in our belief, it is done unto us as we believe. Since we're buying into, remember the ancient text says, we are light, we are sons of light, trapped in ignorance and confusion at the demise of the truth. So the Hashem removes ignorance and confusion. The Hanakash, the Bene Hanakash, which means serpent or snake, upright talking snake, where we get the word devil, that means that you believe the lie. What is the lie? That you're a man. So you believe that you're part of the mankind. You believe that you're part of the man class. You don't know that you're part of, that you're the same as the God kind. You think you're the same as mankind. Now, we just read it. And you can read it for yourself in Genesis chapter 1. And he made everything after its kind. I cannot find where it says man was made after the kind. Now, again, let me read it again. Maybe you missed it. Because when he made everything after its kind, he said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creepy things, and the beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was done so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth up on the earth after his kind. And God said it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, not kind, and after our likeness, not kind, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, one, over the fowl of the air, two, over the cattle, over the cattle, three, and over all of the earth, four, and over every creepy thing that is up on the earth, five. You got dominion over five kingdoms. That's why you're the king, and you got keys over your kingdom, and you got five dominions. But I cannot find in this scripture are no scriptures where one man has dominion over another man or another woman. I cannot find it. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So male and female are what we call Adam. Adam is not male. Adam is male and female. God created man in his own image. He did not create man in his own kind. The word image means the exact same qualities as God. It means tselem. So image and likeness means the exact same thing. Okay, Brother Will, that sounds great, brother. So we're made in the image and likeness of God. So let's move on. What problems does a God, or in this case, God, have? What bothers God? Because remember, something's bothering you. Now, we already broke down the word bother, concern that I have, because we got a Luciferian term. Because, again, like the word care, those are Luciferian terms. The word bother means trouble. It means pester. It means worry. P-E-S-T-E-R. I like the word pester. So you have a pester. The word pester is like tester. The word pester means to bother persistently with petty annoyances. Anybody got any pesters? You got any pesters in your life, brother? You got any pesters in your life, sister? So a pester is, it's like a fly. It's like a gnat. It just bothering. It's an annoyance. Pester is like the word imposter. Anybody got any imposter? The word pester, now, again, I'm not going to make this up. You can look for yourself. If you look down at the ancient text, the word pester, or the bottom of the page of dictionary.com or any good dictionary, you're going to see this word, pester. It means entangler. It means embarrassing situation. The root word, it means to hobble. It means, in the Latin, it means I am. It means in. And posterior or coda, it means rope. It means to hobble something. It means what makes you a limp. It means pasturium, where we get the English word pastor or herdsman. So the word pester means pastor. It means annoyance or trouble. It means pest. I'm not making this up. Please look it up for yourself. So what hobbles you or maims you or makes you walk with a limp? At the etymology. I'm an etymologist. I don't stop at first base. I go all the way around first base, second base, third base, and I go to home plate. That word pastor, again, pester means pastor. At the root. Now, I'm not saying pastors or pesters. I'm just breaking down the etymology of the term. Now, again, you can slice it and dice it however you want it. The word pastor, it means pastor. But the word pastor, P-A-S-T-E-R, is phonetically the same as pastor, P-A-S-T-U-R-E. That's where you go and eat. It means the place where you go feed. Now, Jesus in the Bible, it says that my sheep, they hear my voice, they go in and out, and they find green pastures. But you got a pastor, a pester, but you ain't got no pastor. Now, I know that's probably a little too deep for your understanding. You know, we'll break that down at another time. But let me make sure you understand, my brother. Let me make sure you understand, my sister. Because the devil is a linguistical god. Pastor is a place where you go and get fed. It means food. The ancient text, P-A-S-T-U-R-E, it means a place where you go feed, where you go get food, where you go get nourishment. It has nothing to do with the word pastor, which means pester, which means something that annoys you, or it means pest. Now, I could go deeper down there, but I don't think y'all ready for it. So we're gonna pigeon that for a later date. Because we need to break down what's bothering you. What's bothering you is you may have a pastor, but you don't have a pastor. You don't have a place to go to get fed. Now, what does that mean, though? That means that the Bible says that you should study to show yourself approved unto God. The Bible says that there is no more mediator between God and man save the Son, Yahushua, or the HaMashiach. Now, remember, you either got the HaShem or the HaMashiach, or you got the HaNakash. You either got the father of lies or the father of light. Which one you got, boo-boo? Which one you got? I can tell by your fruit. Which one you got? Well, your fruit, not your leaves. People can't tell by your leaves, but they can tell by your fruit. You got love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against those things, there is no law. Can you go find food so that can replace your mood? You ever notice what happens when you do not have food? If you don't believe me, try an experiment. Go with no food. Just drink water. See what happens. You get into a mood because you don't have no food. Now, remember, we already talked about this before, how the enemy gave you what you call your personality right now. The way you think was given to you because, number one, something happened to you, and it gave you a feeling. It bothered you. That feeling put you in a mood, M-O-O-D. That mood is their food. Who is they? The Bnei HaNakash. Who is the Bnei HaNakash? The Bnei HaNakash is the upright talking serpent. It's the feathered serpent. So that they eat adrenochrome, which is drama and trauma. So I have to do something to you to bother you. Why? So that way you get in a mood. When you get in a mood, you now are food for the Dracos, the lizard people, the dragons, the genies, the sprites, the genies, the mojos, all of the other entities or emotional beings or entities in motion that's on a different frequency. You can't see them, but guess what, boo-boo? They can see you. You are their food. Just watch Jupiter ascending. They need to eat. The only way they can eat is they eat off of your emotional trauma and drama. They must keep you in a state of fear. That's why all animals are killed in a state of fear to release the adrenochrome. They are emotional beings. They eat energy and motion. They eat your feelings. So what's bothering you? They produce situations to keep you in a mental disposition, so you got a mood. Your mood is their food. Your mood, when held over time and frequently repeated, repetition makes you a reptilian. So you repeat that mood. You wake up, something happens, you pissed off. You drive in traffic, somebody cut you off, you give them the finger, you piss. You come home, you know, your man acting up, your woman acting up, you piss. You get a letter from the IRS, you piss. You go to the grocery store, they don't have your favorite food, you piss. You're in a mood. That mood held over time creates a temperament. That temperament held over time creates a personality. That personality held over time creates your disposition. That disposition places the true design. So right now, your personality that you got is not yours. That was the one that was created for you by the Bnei HaNakash. It was not the one given to you by the Yahushua, the HaMashiach. So the HaShem, the HaMashiach, the light of the truth of your spiritual origin, which is rooted in the Yahushua, the HaMashiach, was replaced by the HaNakash. So the HaNakash replaced the HaMashiach. So the HaMashiach don't have problems, but the HaNakash does, because that's how they eat. They eat off of moods. They eat off of bothers. They got to bother you. Why? You're not feeding in a pasture. But what does that mean? Again, this goes a whole lot deeper, but again, for the sake of today's study, I need you to understand, because if you have a problem, see, the Father, he don't have those. But we do. We have problems. We have problems because we're trying to exercise control. Let me make sure you understand. So let me get this right. You have an expectation. So you got an expectation. Now, remember, I've said this before. So let's say you're married. You have an expectation that your husband or your wife is loyal. You expect loyalty, and you expect them to be faithful. And let's say they are not faithful. They are not loyal. What happens? You are disappointed because you made an appointment. What was the appointment? The appointment was loyalty. And if you don't get that appointment, you are disappointed. That disappointment is because you have an expectation. The expectation was based upon a verbal agreement between you and your mate or your spouse. So now that person did something that is called a violation of a mutual agreement between two parties. Now that mutual agreement was signed between you and that other party. That mutual agreement established an expectation. Now you must, and this is the meat of the message, overstand. You must, there's nothing wrong with setting an expectation, but you cannot be attached to the expectation. What does that mean? Remember, I've been saying for 20 years, you make your goal and you detach from it and you attach to the role. Goal, lose 50 pounds. What's the role? How do you lose 50 pounds? See, everybody want to get married. Okay, but how do you maintain a marriage? Everybody talk about the wedding day. What about the wedding life? So, oh, you got a goal of getting married. Bam, you accomplished the goal. Okay, what's next? Oh, I didn't really think about that, brother. Okay, there's something that you have to do in order to maintain. That means you got a role to play. There's a step-by-step process. There's activities you must engage in. If I want to be a bodybuilder and I eat donuts all day, I have a goal, be a bodybuilder. What is my role? What do I do? More importantly, what mental disposition do I maintain? So your unrealistic expectation or a unrealistic attachment. Now, people tell me all the time, well, Brother Will, you mean to tell me it is unrealistic for me to expect my partner to be faithful if we're married? That is not unrealistic. What's unrealistic is your dominion or your control over your mate. That's not realistic because I cannot find where you have dominion over that person and that person have dominion. You got dominion over five kingdoms, but that your kingdom, all problems stem from unrealistic expectations, meaning you're expecting somebody to do something and they didn't do it. And so what happens? You're disappointed. So that bothers you. That causes trouble. That causes a pester. That causes you to worry. That causes you to be confused. That causes you to be bewildered. You're expecting loyalty. But you cannot be attached to the expectation. You got to be attached to the role, not the expectation. What does that mean? That means you have the expectation, but you're not attached to the expectation. Okay, Brother Will, how do we have attached detachment? So you're telling me I can be attached to the goal. Okay, I got a goal. And if I got a goal of $1 million, and if I don't make that goal of $1 million, what happens? Am I disappointed? Most people will say yes. Me, I will say no. So why would I not be disappointed? Because the moment I make the goal and I attach to doing the things inside the role, I am already a millionaire. If I'm doing everything inside of a marriage that requires, quote-unquote, loyalty, my loyalty does not depend on the other party. My loyalty depends upon myself. The keys to my happiness is in my pocket. I don't put the keys to my wealth, my health, my wisdom, or my relationships in somebody else's pocket. I put the keys to my happiness in my own pocket. I am not codependent. I don't have misplaced dependency. Now, this is really deep. Why is it deep? Dependency means the state of being dependent. So am I dependent? Is my loyalty dependent upon somebody else's loyalty? No. Would I like loyalty back? Absolutely. But am I subordinate to? Am I beneath? Am I ruled? Am I ruled by somebody else? Most people are. Gods are not ruled by. Read in Genesis chapter 1, 26, 27, 28, you got dominion. So if you're expecting somebody to give you dominion, then you don't have the right mental disposition. See, your mental state is subject to. It is subordinate. The word dependency or the word dependent, it means to be subordinate. It means to be beneath. So it means that you are lower than. Now, remember, dependency, what does that mean? It means placed in a lower order or lower ranking. Let me say that again. I'm trying to help you. Now, we can argue and debate over mutual respect. Is it your right? Absolutely. Can you demand it? Absolutely not. You can request it. You cannot. You do not have dominion. Men, you don't have dominion over your woman. I know you think you do, but you don't. Women, you don't have dominion over your man. I know you think you do, but you don't. That's why you get disappointed. The reason that you're getting disappointed is because you're expecting something to happen just outside of your control. Now, there's something called witchcraft. There is something called, again, abuse of power. There is something called bullying. There is something that's called pain. There's something that's called verbal and physical abuse. Those are all ways by which to make somebody subordinate, to take. But the best way is to get mutual respect. Give, and it shall be given. So let me make sure you understand. Because, see, whatever or whoever bothers you has power over you. By definition, the word bother means you are subordinate to. Subordinate. That means that you are of a lower rank. So I can tell because there is less importance. Why? The word disappointed. It means that was an appointment made that somebody didn't make. That puts you in a lower rank. See, you are under the authority of a superior rank the moment you require fulfillment outside the self. Because what you're saying, you don't have dominion. God gave you dominion, and you're telling God you don't have it. Because what you are expecting to do, God did not design you to do. That is, make people do what you want them to do. That's called witchcraft. Now, you can manipulate, you can con. There's a whole plethora of ways to place someone in lower order, to make someone subordained. The word subordinate means I'm going to arrange. The word sub means under. The word, again, a subordinate, it means arrangement. It means under arrangement. So by definition, whatever bothers you puts you lower and it arranges you. It means to bring into a lower ranking position. So if I don't have money and that bothers me, I am under poverty, not wealth. Why? If I don't have no money, it should not bother me. Why? Because I know I have dominion. What does that mean? I can create money. If you do not have a way by which to create wealth, not having wealth bothers you. Go to the next level. Health. If you get a bad report from the doctor, that's going to bother you. Why would a bad report from the doctor bother you? The reason that a medical doctor, which means a deity of sorcery, that's what a medical doctor means. And again, without understanding the etymology of the terms, we do not over understand scripture, which means dominion. which means we do not understand the eight R's of freedom. What are the eight R's? Like those old preachers used to say, R's. What are the eight R's of freedom? One, recognize. Two, responsibility. Three, return, which we call repent. Four, renounce. Five, remove. Six, resist. Seven, rejoice. Eight, restore. If you do not over, under, and understand those eight R's, R's, your dogs don't hunt. You are codependent. You believe something outside of you has more power than you. You are subordinate. You somebody's B-I-T-C-H. Now, let me make sure you understand, because, you know, I'm an entomologist. I don't really do theory. I do theorem. I don't really teach, you know, shizness that might not work. I just teach shizness that work. I just teach real life shizness. We are all, the Bible says, we're all tempted and we're all drawn away by the lust of our own flesh. What's bothering you? What's for real? Like, something gets underneath your skin. Somebody can really rattle your cage. The only reason that it can really rattle your cage is you don't have recognized that you are the same as God. You don't take responsibility and respond to your ability. You got ability. God gave it to you. Now, the scriptures said he gave it to you. Now, you may not believe in the scriptures. You may not say you don't even need the scriptures, actually. But, hey, they help to revalidate. They help you to understand the word repent, which means to return to the pent. Pent means top. Return to the top, the highest vibration. The word repent means I'm going to return to my highest possible good. So you got to recognize that you are the same as God. You think you're a man. And so you think you're of the mankind. You don't know you're of the God kind. Therefore, you think you're a man, you're going to die like a man. Psalms 82:6, John 10:34. But if you can responsibility, if you can to the ability that God placed inside of you, brother, if you can respond to the ability that God placed inside of you, sister, right now you believe in the lie ability. You think that you are a liability. Somebody lied about your ability. Now you're handicapped. You now God, they handed you a cap, and there's a glass ceiling, which is said you got dis-ease. When God gave you ease, but you got dis-ease because you did not renounce. You did not renounce. They say you got dis-ease. I say, I don't think so, brother. You got me twisted. You got the wrong guy. I ain't got no dis-ease. You got to renounce it. Then five, you got to remove it. How do you remove it? You remove it with number six, resist it. They say you got dis-ease. You say, no, I don't. The more time the doctor tell you got it, that's the more times you say you don't. If he tells you got it 10 times, you need to say you don't got it 100 times. You got to remove it. How? Resist it. How do you resist it? By rejoicing that you don't got it. Number seven, rejoice. And then what do you do when you rejoice? You restore. And you do that same, those eight steps. Recognize, respond, repent, renounce, remove, resist, rejoice, restore, recognize. And you just go around and you just continue that cyclical, that cycle. So I don't care what they say. I don't care what other people do. Your job is to respond by, number one, recognize. Number two, respond. Number three, repent. Number four, renounce. Number five, renew. Number six, resist. Number seven, rejoice. Number eight, restore. But they going to say, you ain't got no money. Recognize I got money because I can create money out of thin air anytime I want to. Take responsibility, brother. You're a king. You're not no freaking peasant. Repent. Return to the top of the highest possible good. I am the same. I am one with source. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. Renounce that low vibrational thinking. You think you're a peasant? You ain't no freaking peasant. You're a king. Remove peasantdom. Return to the top. Pick up your sword. Take your rightful place. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Rejoice that you are the son of the king and restore yourself to your kingship, brother. Restore yourself to your queenship, sister. You're a goddess. You're not no freaking slut. Stop walking and carrying yourself like you are a peasant. You must recognize whose you are and who you are. It is this dumbed down thinking, this thinking that you got because you don't understand that you are the same. You made in the image and like, well, let me rephrase that. I'm made in the image. I'm made in the likeness of my Father, the Father of light. My Father is not the Father of lies. There's a lot of folk out there, they daddy may be Lucien Barr, not this Negro. I understand whose I am, and I understand and understand. You see, if you can wrap your brain around the fact that you're made in the image and likeness of your Father, that means that your self-image changes from the self-image of a liar to a self-image of a light. All of a sudden, you realize that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and you are the Word. You are able to understand the doctrines, what I call the doctrines of Christ, that it talked about in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3, which is the foundation that tells us to let us go on past the basic teachings and grow maturity, my brother, grow into maturity. It's time for y'all to grow up. Me too. Psalms 103, verse 3. Psalms 103, verse 3. Psalms 103, verse 3. For he giveth all thine iniquities, and he healeth all thine diseases. So the Father forgiveth of all of your iniquities, not sin. Remember in the New Testament, it says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, not sin. It's iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is living without understanding, overstanding, and understanding. See, right now you're living without inner, over, and understanding. You got the first definitions of every word, but you ain't broken down seven layers deep. The devil is a linguistical god. He understands all of the levels of all of the covers, the colors of the seven chakras, and he understands Kirka. The new series that I'm getting ready to start, I'm going to break down the Piscean Age, which we're leaving. That's the church age. And we're going into the Aquarius Age that it talks about in Luke 17:21. When you see the man with the pitcher of water enter into the city, follow him. That's the age of Aquarius. That's the kingdom age. Now there's only kings that have kingdoms and got keys. And if you're not a king, queen, and if you ain't got no kingdom, and if you ain't got the keys, then you're going to be stuck out. You're going to be left out like Chuck. You're going to have problems. You're going to have sickness that bother you. Somebody's going to disappoint you. Now, let's be for real. If you wake up tomorrow morning and everything that you own is gone, will that bother you? By definition of the word bother, it will not bother me. I would be disappointed because I had an appointment with my wealth. I have an appointment with my father, the doctor, and I am appointed healthy because I declared it and I decreed it. If I go to the doctor and the doctor says, I got another appointment, I'm going to appoint you not healthy. Now we got a battle of frequencies. One frequency says you got dis-ease. Another frequency says you don't. So which frequency is going to win? Okay, the one that you feed. If I got two dogs and I got enough food for one dog, which dog is going to win? The dog that I feed. The word disappointed means depressed. It means discouraged by failure of one's expectations. Let me say that again. What's bothering you today, brother? What's bothering you today, sister? You know why it's bothering you? Because you had an expectation. Now, I'm not saying that the expectation is right or wrong. I'm just saying that your expectation should not be attached to the goal. Your expectation should be attached to the role. Guess what? You will never be disappointed if you are fulfilling the correct role. Let me say that again. Father, touch the minds of your people. The word disappointed means you failing to meet the hopes and the desires and the standards. It means you let down. So if my wife has hopes, my wife has desires, my wife has standards. If I fail to meet her hopes, her desires, and her standards, my wife is going to be disappointed. So you have hopes. You have desires. You have standards. And if somebody does not fulfill the plan, that produces what is called frustration. That means that your appointment was not made. Now, what does that mean by appoint? The word appoint means there is a position or an office. It means authority or an agreement. Now, the word Christ, what does it mean? The messianic office. Now, the word appoint meant, and the word appoint, it means a and then point. Now, I have a point. The Father gave me a point, and I gave myself another point. So which appointment is more important? See, right now you have appointments that the Father did not assign you to. The word appoint means you made a decision. It means to decide. It means to arrange time. It means to make an arrangement to fulfill a duty. It means to add a point. But you already got a point. Your appointment, your point is your position. It means to put someone in charge or to put someone in a, in Latin is the word punctum or punctum, P-U-N-C-T-U-M, punctum. It means office. Now, brothers and sisters, you already have the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. That's called diakonia. That's called destiny. So now you got another office. Which office are you going to fulfill? The one that you feed. How do you feed it? With your time, with your energy, with your attention. So God gave you design. Remember, work before a woman. Remember that, men? Women are supposed to be the man's helpmate. You're supposed to help the man meet his God-given appointment, not your arrangement. So God did not appoint you, like they told us in the military. If we want you to have a wife, we would have issued you one in boot camp. So what is that saying? The original or your most pressing purpose, the one that comes first, is what? Your God-given design. What does that mean? I'm not saying that the other designs, the other appointments, maybe you got an appointment with alcohol. That appointment that you got with alcohol should not precede your appointment that you got with your Father. The big one, the real one, the Father of lights. See, right now we got other appointments that we've made that the Father did not make for us. The Father has appointed you to be in his image and his likeness. You made other appointments. You made other arrangements. Now, the Father, again, he says it's better that you do not marry. But then he said, okay, if you're going to burn, go ahead and get married. But your original appointment was to the Father. But you made another appointment with alcohol. You made another appointment with lust. You made another appointment with doubt. You made another appointment with fear. You made another appointment with unbelief. You made another appointment with gluttony. You made another appointment with greed. You made another appointment with lasciviousness. You made all of these other arrangements with all of these other offices. But your original appointment was with the Father in the form of your purpose. Now, I'm not saying that you should stop the other appointments. I'm just saying that you might want to examine those appointments. You might want to reconsider. You might want to have a corporate meeting with all three of y'all, you, yourself, and yourself, me, myself, and I. All three of us got to get together, and we need to decide which appointment is the most pressing. Which appointment is the most important? Because you are disappointed. Because you cannot meet all of your appointments because you're only one person. You can't be in five places at the same time. So somebody's going to be disappointed. And so your wife, your job, your dog, your cat, your brother, your sister, yourself, somebody's going to be disappointed. The best way to guarantee that you're going to be unhappy is to try to please everybody. Whatever or whoever bothers you have power over you because that appointment is more important than your design. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. What is abuse? Abuse is anxiety. What is that? That's the word bother. So the thing that's bothering you is the appointments that you can't make. that God never told you to make. You made agreements with other things. You made an agreement with other people. You made an agreement with other places. You made an agreement with other positions. But the Father gave you a position. It's called your Christ, your Christos. That's your diakonia. That's your destiny. That's your appointment. But you made another appointment, and you can't keep that appointment, so now that bothers you. And you made an appointment with somebody else that you shouldn't have made, because that appointment that you made with that person violates the appointment that they made with God. I cannot expect, or I should not expect, my wife to put me before I have a place, and I know my place. And you should know your place. Because if you understand the word bother, it also means the word both. Which in the Gaelic term, it means the word vex, V-E-X. It means two. It means two considered together. Two. The word bother is actually the word vexed or the word both. Two dispositions in the same brain. James says it this way, a double-minded man will not receive anything from God. See, you got two appointments. The word bother means both. The word both means vex. The word vex means hex. The word vex means to irritate or to ignore, same word as the word pester or the word pastor, to irritate, to ignore, and to provoke, to cause trouble, to be a pest. So what's bothering you, brothers? What's bothering you, sisters? What have you vexed? What it is, that's the Father way of saying you have something before me. You are expecting somebody to do something for you. You should do for yourself. The word vex, it means a vehicle to draw or carry you away. Bam. Let me say that again. The word vex means you are in a vehicle that is drawing or carrying you away from your appointment. You have an appointment. My appointment is I'm a didactic teacher. My appointment is didacticus. That's my appointment. So if I put anything before didacticus, that's the vehicle that's driving me away, vexed. What's bothering you has power over you. Why? It's taking you away from your God-given purpose. Where does your power come from? Remember, the word Christ means the messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. Your power comes from your position. When you expect somebody to do something that they ain't designed to do, you're taking that person away from their power. And you're wondering why they are disappointed and unhappy, and you are disappointed and unhappy. So what should we do, Brother Will? You should be attached to your goal. And every person, and every place, and every position, it will be drawn to you. All you got to do is do you, boo-boo. You got to know you and do you. Be authentic. Be original. Be original or you're going to die a copy. Dare to be you, brother. Dare to be you, sister. You're going to be vexed. And you're going to be drawn away. There's going to be a chart. There's going to be a horse and buggy that's going to pull up, and it's going to carry you away. It is the vehicle that draws you away from God. What is the vehicle that is taking you away from your image, same, and likeness, same, of God? You are the same as God, but somebody told you that you're not. That is the vehicle that is taking you away from God because you believe the lie. The father of lies came to you. He's trying to murder you. By getting you to get in a vehicle that's taking you away, and the vehicle is the B'nai HaNakash. Again, remember, he comes in a pleasing raiment. So you got a job. You got a position. Somebody offers you another job and another position, and it pays you more money. But it's not your design, but it pays more money. So you're going to get in that vehicle, and you're going to drive off into the sunset with the girl or with the guy or with the car, or with the food, or with the drugs, or with the alcohol, but that is not your design. You are not designed for drugs. You are not designed to be controlled by sour grapes. That is not why you are on the earth, to pursue sour grapes. But if that sour grape replaces your original appointment with the Christos, and the krestos, you are going to be controlled by that sour grape. And that sour grape has power over you. Because when you don't have it, it bothers you. Because you sign a contract with that grape. It's simply a contract that you signed with your father. Now you got a contract with the father of lies that replaced the contract that you had with the father of lights. That contract with the father of lies, you are not hooked on those sour grapes, but you believe the lie. Therefore, you become a liability because you refuse to take responsibility, and now you are handicapped. So I'm going to hand you a cap on your ability, and you can only vibrate to the level of an alcoholic. Because that is a professional sour grape person. Someone who's under control of the sour grape. The sour grape has power over you. Whatever bothers you has power over you. So the question is, brothers and sisters, what's bothering you today? Whatever's bothering you, that's the appointment that you made, that you're disappointed. That's the vehicle that's taking you away from God's appointment. So nothing should bother you. Things are going to happen. They're going to disappoint you. You're going to get knocked down. You should get up. You should brush your teeth, your knees off. Brush your elbows off. You should return back to your office that your father has appointed for you. You should make a goal, and you should detach from the goal and attach to the role. What does that mean in English, Brother Will? In closing, that simply means that you should be being mentally whatever God has assigned you to be, not do. What does that mean, Brother Will? That means God has given you, is have. The creative formula is have. Give, receive. That's how you should do that every day. Every day I wake up, I have been given. What have I been given? The ability to teach didactically. So I'm going to give what I got. I'm not going to go get something. I'm not going to go to Harvard or Yale and learn how to be, an architect and give you architecture. That I'm making another appointment with a vehicle that drives me away from my God ordained position, I'm guaranteed to be disappointed because now that has power over me because I'm putting that as my source. So I am no longer the source. Now my source of income is architecture, not me. My source of income right now is my creativity. My source of income is not my client. I don't pay my bills with the money that my clients pay me. I pay my bills with my creativity by which to draw clients to me. My power comes from my position. My power does not come from my clients. So if all my clients paying me today, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to create using didactic teaching. My power comes from my father. My father is my source. I don't depend upon man. I don't depend upon my degree. I depend upon my source. I depend upon my position because my position was given to me by a person, and that person has a place, and I have a place in that person's kingdom, and that person made me the king, and he gave me the ability to establish my own kingdom, and he gave me the keys by which to determine the outcome of my kingdom, and my kingdom has wealth in it. I create the wealth. My kingdom has health in it. I create who am I attached to? I'm attached to source. I'm not attached to a person. Therefore, I cannot be disappointed by a person because the person is not my source. My source is my father of light, not the father of lies. I don't have to lie. I don't have to manipulate. I have to be authentic and stay connected to God, which is my source. My source is not man. My source is father. My source is the big G. My source is James chapter 3, the father of life. All good gifts come down from the father of life. In him there is no variance. There is no shifting. There is no change. My father is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So I don't have to worry. Why worry about what you should eat or what you should drink? Do you not know that your father knows you have need of these things before you ask? So I am not concerned. So nothing bothers me. If somebody pays me, it doesn't bother me. If they don't pay me, it doesn't bother me. Somebody loves me, it doesn't bother me. If they don't love me, it doesn't bother me. If somebody shows up for the one-on-one, it doesn't bother me. If they don't show up, it doesn't bother me. I'm not attached to people. I'm not attached to places. I'm not attached to positions. I'm attached to source because my father gave me the keys to my kingdom, and that establishes my dominion. No man put me in my position. Therefore, no man can take my position. So what bothers me? Nothing. What bothers you, brother? What bothers you, sister? It's my prayer that you get to the place in life where nothing bothers you. Sure, there may be issues and things that disappoint you. But the disappointment should last about a minute, maybe five. After that, you're going to realize, oh, you know what? I should not have put that on that person because that was not their responsibility to make me happy. It is not my wife's responsibility to make me happy. It's mine. It's not my wife's responsibility to put money in my pocket. It's mine. It's not my wife's responsibility to make me healthy. It's mine. It's not my wife's responsibility to make sure that I have wisdom and understanding. It is mine. It is my responsibility. I am my own source. So are you. But if you're looking for something outside of you to supply you, you are going to be disappointed because everybody can't be you. Only you can be you. Brothers and sisters, it is my prayer that you over, under, and understand. Because this is a deep, deep subject. Very few people can wrap their brain around it. Because we all have codependency. We all look outside of ourselves for somebody to supply us with what God has gave us dominion. God gave you dominion, brother. God gave me dominion. But he didn't give me dominion over you. He gave me dominion over me. No se desum. Know thyself, brother. Know thyself, sister. That's the key to the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I am the one and only Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah, the HaMashiach. And may the Father, may the Son, who's made in the image and the likeness of the Father, who has given us the Ruach and the Pneuma, which we call the Holy Spirit, continue to lead you and guide you. I am not leading and guiding you. The Holy Spirit is. Now, the Holy Spirit is using me. The Holy Spirit is in me, operating as me, manifesting itself through me to assist you with following source, not follow me. And may that Ruach continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth. It's sweeping under rug. So deal with it yourself. Don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic. This is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it. Orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace, and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours. It's yours for sure. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours. It's yours for sure. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. So do it for yourself. You the day one. Day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. I'm back up on my grizzly. Used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large. We live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star. They say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle.